Welcome, everyone. This is Gary Carpenter at Prepare for College, along with Al Hoffman and Chuck Moore. And today we're going to be talking about something a little bit different, just some things you may run into as you prepare for college and go off to school, and some of the things you'll hear and some of the things you won't hear. So, again, remember the website. It's Prepare for College. It's the word college, the number four, college.com. So, Al, why don't we start off with you, first of all, with your tidbits here.
Okay, you bet. So, first up is something that is misworded by counselors, by programs, by colleges. So it's the real cost of college. They're not lying when a college says our tuition is 25,000. It's posted. It's on their website. But if you don't know that the rest of the story is going to finally get you up to 40,000, then you're surprised. And if you're like me, you don't like surprises, and neither do I. If the government has a way of talking about it that I really like. They call it direct cost and indirect cost. However, not every college will give you that nice, honest display. And so it bears watching. So the direct cost is going to be your tuition, your fees, your room and board, but your indirect costs will be books, transportation, supplies, personal expenses. Really, when you get down to it, those can add up quite a bit. If you're in the music field, you're going to have use of the music facilities at the college. They're not for free. If you're in some kind of science fields, you may have access to a lab when lab fees would be added. I mean, there's all kinds of little fees that are added. So when you put it all together, it is going to be the total cost of attendance. Now, understand what I just said. We started out talking about tuition and we ended up talking about cost of attendance. That's my point. That's the point I want you to realize. And how do you get around that? What's your takeaway is, well, just ask questions. And ask the rewording of the questions is, what is the estimated cost of attendance? So when you're on a tour or you're talking to a financial aid director or admissions director for that matter, what is the total cost of attendance? Because the website might say tuition is 25,000 and you're thinking 25,000, but they're not lying. That's the tuition. That is just only one piece of the whole thing, though. Okay, that was point one. Real cost of college. Second one is scholarships. Oh gosh, this is an accountability issue, really. I mean, I'm not sure that the colleges are at fault here or the student, but I think it's a little bit of both. For instance, let's say that a college offers you as a mitigating force against that cost of attendance I just talked about. Let's say they offer you a scholarship. And the scholarship says, here's $40,000, $10,000 renewable every year upon maintaining a 3.7 GPA. Now, listen to me. They clearly said what it is. 10,000 renewable 3.7. So if you get a 3.69, guess what? You lose your scholarship. And that's a lot of money. Make sure that you are aware of whatever the conditions are. Again, this is the admissions or financial aid director when you're doing an interview or a phone call even. But what are those terms? Well, the terms were clearly laid out. The accountability, the answer truly is don't forget the terms. You gotta, if that says 3.7, it means 3.7. Now, this actually happened to a student of mine in Rochester Institute of Technology. And they wanted to be a doctor. But they lost their scholarship in the sophomore year because it didn't, they played a little bit too much in the freshman year. And then they went super, over the top for for the sophomore year and got it back. Remember, it usually says renewable bond maintained at 3.7. They got it back because they got over a 3.7. So keep in mind that those issues are spelled out, and if they're not spelled out, again, ask questions. And then the last one is your parents probably graduated in 4 years. But it is interesting. I mean, we've lost some colleges. We, you know, the colleges are a little bit backed up, and there may be a lab that you have to take before you can get your degree. Only thing is, you can't get into the lab. So there you're there for 4.5 years, or 5 years, or 5.5 years. So the takeaway here is to make sure that you talk to your guidance counselor at the college. You want to be first in line, and the way you get to be first in line in anything like this is to be the squeaky wheel. So ask questions often. Did you notice that there was a consistent takeaway? Ask questions for number one, ask questions for number two, and ask questions for number three. Well, that's what I want to bring to this particular talk today, Gary. I'm going to turn it back over to you for a couple more points that I know you are going to make. So go
Thank
for it.
you, Al. Thank you very much. And again, I'm going to repeat what Al says. Ask questions. First item I'd like to touch upon is job placement when you get out of school. This is very important. Colleges are saying, so many percentages of our graduates have jobs when they get out of school and everything, and they may have them, but it may not be in the field that they majored in. Okay, so again, you want to go back and say, okay, I'm going to major in this field, accounting. Okay, what's the number of graduates that have a job in accounting when they graduate out of school? And they're not going to get that to you right off. This is a question you've got to ask. Again, as Al says, ask questions. Okay, go back, ask specifically. What's the employment rate by major and job type? Not the overall employment rate of the college, but by major and by job type. And again, that narrows it down so you can start to understand what co the college is offering and how successful they are in getting their students placed out there. The second one, and I had some experience with this one here, is return on investment. Now, we're going to spend a lot of money for college here. But, and the colleges are going to say, our grads get great careers. They go off, they're very successful. They get these high-paying jobs and everything. And that's great. But reality says that may not always happen. And I'm going to give you an example here. I had a client who had applied to various schools, and she was going for a public service degree. She was going to be a counselor, and she was looking at a private college. At that time, going to that private college would have put her into about $80,000 worth of debt. If she had gone to an in-state public institution, she could have got the same degree and only had about $30,000 worth of debt. So you say, okay, what's the difference here? Well, the difference is when she got out of school, going as a counselor with a county or a state agency, she was only going to make $35,000, maybe $40,000. And when you've got an $80,000 loan and you only got $35,000 coming in, it's you're over your head. So again, you want to go back, and the question you want to ask this time is, what's the starting salary by major? If I'm going to major in accounting, am I going to start out at 40 grand? Am I going to start out at 70 grand? What is it? And the colleges will give you this. Now, the other one I'd like to bring up, and I had some exposure to this, but a little closer to home, is you might not get the classes you need to graduate. And colleges are going to say, yes, we offer a lot of classes. You're going to have the degree you need and everything. But when it comes down to reality, you may not be able to get into those classes. And I'll give you an example. My son's roommate was in sports management, and he was progressing along and really not spending a lot of time talking to his advisor to say, how am I progressing? He's just saying, I'll take this class, I'll take this. They told me what to take. Turns out in his final year, there's a class he has to take to graduate, and it's not offered in the final year. It's only offered in every other year. So what happened is he had to He finished his senior year, then he had to come back for another year to complete that one course. Now, he did it over a year. Yes, it was not a lot of money, but I've seen situations where there are multiple courses that had to be completed so bad that you had to go for full courses for a fifth year. And this blows the whole budget out the window. So again, what do I want to ask? I want to go back and ask course availability. What do I have to get to graduate in 4 years? And this goes back to what Al says. You got to ask questions. So I think that's the final one I have, Al. Chuck, I'd like to pass it over to you.
All right, I want to cover three here. And the first one is on housing guarantees. And what the colleges may say is that we offer guaranteed housing. However, what they don't tell individual students is that your deposit isn't early enough for you to get the housing that you want. Now, they claim that housing is guaranteed, and in most situations they are, but in reality, the guarantee often comes with fine print. And some of the fine print may say, let's say, first come, first serve. And that doesn't guarantee affordability or preferred housing that the student may want. Now, to give you an example, let's say little Billy were to accept the financial aid offer and everything in May. But by that particular time, the freshman dorms are full. So what does the individual student end up doing? The student may end up in a motel turned to a dorm, and they're packed into this one room with three or four other individuals. So, you know, the housing is guaranteed, but however, it may not be your preferred housing that you may want. Another one, let's say transfer credits. Now, a lot of colleges will accept transfer credits, but what they're basically not telling you is that we may not count them towards your major. Now, this has happened to a lot of individual students. Schools do accept transfer credits. However, accepting credits may not count towards your major or your degree program, leading to a loss of time as well as money. Now, let's look at an example. Let's assume you had a student that transferred from a community college with 60 credit hours. The new university accepted 48, but only 30 credits of that counted towards their major. The student may have to take five classes and stay an extra year, therefore, more money out of your pocket. And the last one that I had is campus safety. This is a big issue right now, and it can be very misleading. A lot of colleges will advertise, "We've got a safe campus." What they basically will not tell you, we only report crimes within a certain radius of the university. Now, the colleges report low crime rate status or claim a safe environment. However, in a lot of the colleges, some schools underreport crimes to protect their image or don't include incidents from nearby areas and that's heavily trafficked by individual students. Now, if you look at an example on this, a student or a school or college may boast low crime rates but fail to mention multiple assaults in nearby off-campus housing where most underclassmen may be living. Now, these incidents are not reported to the federal safety data. So the takeaway from this is use the campus or the college's safety and security sites to look beyond the potential claims. This is why I normally tell a lot of students when you're going on your campus visits, find out what type of area that is outside the perimeter of the campus itself in order to find out places that you should and should not go. So those are the three things that I wanted to hit today. And so, Gary, Al, I'll turn it back over to you.
Chuck, thank you very much. This is very interesting. I mean, I've seen these before, but when you start to dig into it, you start to understand that there are some things you need to pay attention to. So, thank you, Chuck, for putting this together. Really appreciate it. Well, folks, that's our podcast for this week. Again, it's going to be recorded. It'll be on our site, prepareforcollege.com, and that's prepare4college.com. Don't keep us a secret. If you have friends or family who are going to have students going off to school in the next couple of years or are looking at schools now, show them the website. I think there's a lot of good information on there that can help us. Well, folks, have a good week, and we'll be talking next week. Thank you for tuning in. Bye-bye now.